collection of artifacts from the Muslim world is about to go on display at the British Museum. They told a story of the Hajj, a Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca, strictly forbidden to non-Muslims. Much of the beautiful artwork on show conforms to the religious rules which inspire the rich visual language of Islamic culture, past and present. In Islam, depictions of God and the prophets are prohibited. But to many Muslims, so too are many human depictions or any living creatures. But on show at the British Museum are images from Muslim history which appear to break the present-day understanding of the rules of Muslim art. Included here are portraits, depictions of human figures, and whole tableaux showing pilgrims performing the most important pillar of the Muslim faith. So, if human depiction is the source of such controversy, how come art displayed here shows a tradition of figurative art at the heart of Islam for century after century? The Sex Pistols come on. They're loud and raucous, but not bad musicians. It's a singer who stands out, Johnny Rotten. He slouches at the front of the stage, propped up on the mic stand. He's leaning so far forward, he looks as if he might topple off into empty space in front of the audience. His face is pale and his body is twisted into such an awkward, ugly shape. He looks deformed. No dancing about, trying to entertain or attempting to make us all like him. He looks ordinary. About the same age as us, the kind of boy I was at comprehensive school with. Johnny sneers at us in his ordinary North London accent. His voice isn't trained and tuneful, it's whiny, cynical drawl. Every song delivered unemotionally.
The ancient Egyptians were passionate gardeners and accomplished botanists. So it is fitting that the land in which they lived should have represented the flower which they most loved to depict upon their monuments. The lotus. If you look at the map of Egypt, you will see that it is like the spreading head of a flower, set on a long thin stalk. The head is the fan-shaped delta of the River Nile. The stalk, the swaying curve of the river as it unwinds its course from the first cataract at Aswan to the distant Mediterranean. And the sap which gives life and vigor to the plant is the water of the blue and white Niles, springing from their distant source in the heart of Africa, 4,000 miles from the sea.
From a block away, she could see the pole sign against the turquoise sky. Faye de Rove's Ballet Academy. Scholarship audition, 10:30 today. She'd spent the last hour pinning and repinning her hair until she looked like Margot Fontaine. She felt like a real ballerina, except for her batwing glasses. She wished she could take them off for the audition, but without them, she could only see a few inches in front of her face. Her mother swung the Thunderbird into the parking lot and plucked her handbag off the seat. I don't know why I let you talk me into this! The paper said Madame Faye de Rove has students and companies all over the world. The New York City Ballet, the San Francisco Ballet, the Royal Danish Ballet. Her mother slammed the door. It's a waste of gas to drive 100 miles to throw your legs in the air. Katie got out of the car. Her synthetic ermine cape pulled around her. She'd ridden all the way from home, dressed in ballet shoes and the new plum-colored tutu her father had bought her just for this audition. Not if I win the scholarship, she said. Sugar, it's dangerous to want things as badly as you do. Why? Because a little hope is a dangerous thing, honey. Then you don't have to worry, she said. I don't have a little hope. I have a lot. This is the opportunity I've been waiting for my whole life.
She wore her white dress. I told her not to, but that was what she wanted. Today, Marie Antoinette was executed wearing the white dress that I made for her, and I will never make another dress again. I began work as one of Marie Antoinette's personal servants when she first arrived in France. We were 14 years old. You do what your parents do, don't you? It just so happened that my mother was a serving woman at court in Versailles, and hers was the leader of a European country. At this point, an idea sprang into my mind, and before I had the self-discipline to contain it, the words had come spilling from my mouth at an embarrassing speed. If Madame would permit me, I could create a contrasting panel for the skirt from the curtain fabric in a very short time. The room fell silent. I felt as if my face had been set on fire. Such was the burning in my cheeks. Sabine looked as though she was going to explode with rage. But Madame Marie-Antoinette simply laughed.
Well, somebody fetch her a needle and thread. Hélène is to be my savior.
I simply could not believe it. I think I may go so far as to say that Marie-Antoinette considered me a friend. Today has passed by as though it was a dream. I stood in the crowd surrounding the guillotine, and all the noise faded into the background. Marie looked beautiful as ever. As she walked up the steps, she saw me in the crowd and smiled. I told her that white cotton stains at the best of times, let alone when you know you're going to have to kneel down. But she would not listen. She was dignified and beautiful, and as she walked past her executioner, she stood on his toe.